Is this on now? Good, good. I'm so glad that you're here today. This sermon's been burning on my heart, and as we know that the Word of God changes our life, and we'd all agree to that, but just because we know it, if we don't live out the Word of God in our life, we don't experience all that God has for us. The older we get, you know, we make jokes about, you know, we know more, but we feel like we know less. So I thought that, you know, to start off with something maybe a little bit funnier, I think is funny, I tell some elderly jokes. One day at a church in the country, the pastor got up and said, "We're raising money, and whoever gives the most money gets to choose three hymns." A little lady in the back said, "I'll give $1,000. And she won the contest. And she walked up in front of the church and turned around and surveyed the congregation and said, "I'll take him, him, and him." A granddaughter asked her grandmother if she gets lonely. And she said, "Are you kidding?" She says, "I never get lonely because I have four men in my life." She said, "Grandma, what are you talking about?" Grandma said, "Well, I get up every morning with Charlie, horse. I spend the day with Arthur, itis. I dine with Will, power. And I go to bed with Ben, gay." You know, just because we get older doesn't mean that we get wiser or that there isn't revelation out of the Word of God that can still affect us to the point of doing life better and being equipped with more and more and more that God has for us. You know, when I think about the privilege of meeting together today and having a relationship with you, and the closer that we get together, it'll never end. I mean, we might have disagreements and we might end a relationship, but still, we'll always be connected. You know, this morning, Daniel and Giselle Lopes, good people that are part of our church, even though that right now they had left our church and moved to Brazil where they are from. Let me make this clear, that they immigrated to the United States, fell in love with our church, you know. Then they moved back to Brazil, and now they're in Portugal, and speaking the same language, Portuguese, in Portugal. And they said, "You know, Pastor, we're joining your church today." So the things that you learn here today, you'll be able to take with you the rest of your life, just like Daniel and Giselle. And we're praying and believing that one day that they'll be sitting right here with us. And same way with you, that we're learning together as we go through life. Now, this morning, this is a message, again, that I want you to be equipped with, that God will change the world because of what He has for you. So let's pray. Father, today as the Word goes forth, I just trust that, God, that You never, ever, Your Word does not come back void. God, it is for a point in our lives that can change us, but also change others. God, use my voice today to be able to speak into people's lives. In your name we pray. Amen. I heard a story about a boy that had watched his dad mow the yard, and he's wanting to mow it because they had a riding lawnmower, and it looked fun. And the day came that he turned about 10 years old, and the father said, "Okay, today's the day that you can mow the yard." And the son got on the riding lawnmower and mowed the entire front yard. And when he was done, he was so pleased. He came over and he said, "Dad," he says, How did I do? Like a lot of children would do. And the dad said, "You did a wonderful job. You only did one thing that I want to recommend that you do different next time." And his son said, What would that be?" And the dad said, "That you would turn on the blades." I've thought about that story for years since I've heard it first. In our life as believers, sometimes we go through our entire life and there's things that God is trying to get to us and teach us that we can do life better. Now let me just kind of tell you the thesis, the thing that I want you to get, because this, by the power suggestion, by the activating, the reticular activating system, if you would, in your brain, that you would be able to catch things during this message and the Holy Spirit will be able to put it in context of your life right now, what you're going through. Customize it. God wants to equip us with wisdom to have better. To have better. Now, to have better, you can fill in the blank, because you know our church and you know my heart in ministering, and it comes down to that we're blessed. And when you get people through the culture that we live in, you know, of saying that we're blessed, and they kind of get that, and you go, you're rich. And they go, oh, I'm not there yet, Pastor. Even though they have already told us, I mean, just for you and I, 3% of the richest people in the world, that we live in America, because we live in America, that we're in the top 3%. But a lot of times when somebody tells you you're wealthy, you go, because we always know somebody that's wealthier than us. So you're blessed. Now, watch this. If you realize that you're blessed, a lot of times people will they'll get tripped up in the fact that they have a lot of money. That's what I'm talking about. You're wealthy. But I'm talking about wholeness in life. You know, to say shalom, you know, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken is huge. But to get it specific and say that you're blessed in your health, maybe you're thinking money, but maybe money's part of it, but also you're blessed in your relationships. How important it is to be blessed in those relationships. If you're married today and you have an argument with your wife and that argument ends, you go, oh, hallelujah, I'm blessed. Mending a relationship with your boss, you look at them, you look at the ceiling, you look at them, you look at the ceiling, you look at the floor. It's uncomfortable. In relationships, life is fun if you have good relationships. People want to be with you, and you don't even sometimes consciously know why. You're blessed. Okay, so we've been talking about being blessed, but you're blessed as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. Why? So you can be the Dead Sea and everything runs into you and it stops? No. You're blessed in order to be a blessing. So when we get into this subject, and really this year, I want to talk about more and more walking in that blessing and how to walk that out. Understanding, and what we're talking about today, about the Holy Spirit living and residing in our life, again, I'm going to talk about, it's about raising your awareness and understanding that one extra bit of effort, one additional bit of action can totally change the results. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Hello. Yeah. Whatever gains your attention will get your focus, yeah, and your focus, your direction. Now watch this. Get focused on this. The promise of Jesus in the New Testament in Acts chapter 1, 8 is being this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now again, if we believe that we are allowed power, there's two ways to go, just like being blessed. We say, well, I don't know if I am powerful because of the culture we live in and the context of who you are and what has been spoken in your life. Power, what's that mean? And then there's sometimes people who go to the part, do I even need power? You know, I just need a little bit for me and mine and that'll be okay. No. You're blessed to be a blessing. Therefore, just in that same heart of our Father, the Holy Spirit comes to give us power, not just for us to put on a cape and stand in the light. The power is there to affect the darkness that we live in. When we walk into darkness, we sing the song Waymaker. I hope we can do it again at the end of the service. But let me just say this, that when you start believing that you have power to go into a dark world, you know, instead of going, man, I work in a dark office. I'll tell you, Pastor, I would like to be praying. Would you pray with me on getting out of there? No. God put you there for a reason. I know that we aren't to the end of the message where you'll be amening and taking scarves and flying. No, I'm kidding. That's just me. Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. We know, and I will not take a minute away from the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Jesus. That provides salvation for us. But here, listen, when we only understand the revelation of salvation, we are preparing our hearts for the eternity that we'll live together with Jesus Christ. But hear me, our God loves us and says, but there is more right now in your life. Your eternity right now starts, and the power that I'm going to give you will change the world. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then Jesus says this earlier when he's walking around on this earth, the Son of God. He says this, in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit, let me just back up and says, it is better, Jesus says it, it's better that I go. Everybody goes, no, we want you here. It is better that I go so that the Father will send the Holy Spirit. Then he says this in verse 26, but the Comforter. Anybody needs comfort? I do. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. The Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. This is the key. He will teach you all things. Now let me speak to the gentleman a minute. There's something about the male ego that we at times don't want to admit that we don't know all things. We don't want to say when we're lost. I don't. That's why I reluctantly at times use GPS so a lady's voice can tell me where to go. Anyway, let's move on. But when you have the promise of the Holy Spirit, gentlemen, living in you, you might not have the answer, but you know who has the answer and who is willing to give us the answer. He will teach you all things. It's even for you, ladies. It's for the men. It's for the ladies. It's for everyone. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall. We're on the kind of the senior. Anybody have a senior moment, even if you're 22? First, second, and the third thing. I forget what the third. Let me say, the Holy Spirit will help you recall. He will remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything that I've told you. Who's saying that? Jesus. Now listen to this. When Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah that has come to save us, says that, sometimes we allow ourselves, because of the culture that we live in, to put the Holy Spirit over here and say that was for the Bible times. But I want to just kind of get you to reason with me that if we start believing that the things that were said in the Bible for the New Testament or the Old Testament people, then we have to also put the plan of salvation only for them and not us. I don't know about you, but I want to bring it all for us too. And that is true. That is what Jesus said. I will send, or the Father will send the Holy Spirit, and he will be able to do these things, which is power. Now, if there's something about recalling the wisdom that Jesus said to us back in the New Testament, if the things that What do we know? We know that Jesus is the Word. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about Jesus. So it's important, as everybody knows, that anybody that ever even thought about Sunday school in your past, the two answers to all, most, you know as well as me, if you're falling asleep as a kid, Jesus, you know, that's the answer. And the other one is, read your Bible and pray. Three of them. So you know that you've probably been in a congregational service where somebody will kind of say, you need to pray more and you need to read your Bible more. The thought is this, that the more of the Word of God that gets in us, the more wisdom that gets in us. But let's go back in time in the Old Testament just for a minute. And I want you to see, we've already talked about in kind of over this year, we've talked about how important it is who we listen to in our life, people. The people that we listen to influences us. They speak into your life, and that helps move you in a way, good or bad, that sometimes you don't even know. Then we talked about how wisdom, you know, with the time about Solomon that we're going to revisit today a little bit, and how important it is for us as believers to get wisdom. Because wisdom, again, we want to know not just what is right or wrong, but what God has for us. Now, listen to this. This morning, I want you to see a perspective again. And this is out of Proverbs. And Proverbs is written by Solomon, which is this amazing, intelligent man. This last week, I went to, I guess it's called a lecture. And it was at an arena, and there's, I'm guessing, somewhere between 1,500 and 3,000 people. And I know that's a lot, but I mean, you know, you look at this arena and you go, wow, there's a lot of people. And the man that talked for 70 minutes, and he just kind of like, it wasn't even a sermon, but he just kind of walked around and just began to talk. Extremely wise and intelligent man. Well, probably one of the most intelligent men that I haven't heard that was not I'll just say it, a pastor. Okay, let's go on. His name was Jordan Peterson, very intelligent man, professor. And he spoke on the things of God and wrestling with God on items. But Solomon just exceeded everybody in history that we've ever heard of. And the thing that I want you to see, just in this small window of time in your life that you're here this morning, that he spends time in training his son and speaking in his life, which the Word of God has for you and I. Now again, in the context of this message, he's speaking in a way to equip his son, listen to this, with wisdom, in order that he has better. And it's not just so that he had a better, but that the community around him would be better. He realizes that if his son gets these things, that it's more important than just knowing how to fix this broken thing or this, do this. It will give him life, and it'll be a ripple effect through everybody's life that is around him. Now watch this. Ask yourself in the next few minutes when I'm reading this part and when you're hearing this read over you, what is Solomon's motive in saying this over his son to get wisdom, even if it costs him everything? In verse chapter 4 of chapter 4, it says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son." Listen to this. He's saying, I'm going to teach you things that I have learned. I was right there in your shoes. "For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother." Just step out for a minute. Who was his father and mother? David and Bathsheba. You think those people learned some failures in their life and how to overcome? Okay, let's just go back. "Then he taught me and he said to me, Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom. And she, again a lady, she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Now watch this. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Do you understand what he's saying is that when you get wisdom, it might cost you everything that you have, but oh, you're going to get all that back. I love the illustration of the man with the money when he meets the man with wisdom. The man with the money will leave with the wisdom, and the man with the wisdom will leave with the money. Okay, you didn't get that. Tomorrow night when you're laying there in bed, you'll start laughing. It is good. You have to learn wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Now watch this. Cherish her. Who is her? Wisdom. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Verse 20 of chapter 4 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Ladies, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life. What is life? His words, the wisdom that he is telling his son. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, watch this, guard your heart. If somebody after service says, above all things, what do you do? Guard my heart. For everything you do flows from it. Now, here's wisdom, is when someone speaks into your life. Now, I'll exaggerate to you're nothing. Nobody's going to come up and say, but it's all forms of way of saying it. Or they speak into your identity one way. When you attain the wisdom of God, you obtain an identity, not just understanding, okay, I'm a child of God. But your understanding first of who God is, and what he did for you, and who you are in him. Let me say it again. He is God, and he can do what he says he can do. And what he says he can do in you is make you the righteousness in him. Mark preached about that last Sunday, the righteousness of Christ. Now again, this is where wisdom comes in. Well, I don't feel like we don't go on our feelings because our emotions want to guide us into all different kinds of place. But wisdom reminds us that God said that. That's God's word. That's not my word. Well, that's not Pastor John's word. That's wisdom. Okay, now watch this. They're going to be wisdom today in Proverbs chapter 3 and read Solomon's words. And I chose my daughters so that they could communicate to you maybe a little bit different than what I would. I mean, I read, everybody goes, no pressure, ladies. All right, go for it.
Okay, this is from Proverbs 3. You can just listen to it. It'll bless you, but it's on the screens. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man.
Remember, you're asking yourself, what is the motive of a father telling his son this? Okay.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Give it to me.
There we go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine.
My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better return than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed.
By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side, and he will keep your foot from being snared.
Do not withhold good from those who do. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways.
For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. The wise inherit honor, but fools get only shame.
Let's give them a hand. Okay, as you heard them read this, some of you have already heard it before. I think I just took that out. Some of you have heard that passage of Scripture before, and I encourage you to read it again, Proverbs chapter 3. While you're at it, just go ahead and read all Proverbs. But I want you to see something, and the point is this. Ask yourself if you could sum up what you think is the motive of a father telling his son these things. If you think about that, I want to tell you what I came up with. If you put it into just a thought, here's what I think. First of all, we all know that he loves his son, but he wants the very best for his son. I told Gwen this, and we told our children, and I have to remind them, and I've explained this through, you know, things like them going through the stupid stage and all that. That sounds bad. Let me just quickly say this. When they were little, sitting around the table, I said, there's a day they're going to go through a phase, and it's like a fog. They're going to go into it. They're not going to know when they're in it. And really, truthfully, they won't know when they're out of it. But I said, when you're in it, what happens is you see everybody as stupid, especially those people in authority that are older than you. Anybody paralleling this with yourself? Don't raise your hand. Sorry, I was a little late there. But if you think about it, I said, the day that you come out, you'll begin to see things different. But in that stage, you're going to need extreme wisdom that you do not have yet. Scientifically, they say that's the form of the brain of the adolescent. Really, that's true. But through the stupid stage, they see out of their eyes things that are not true. I did. Did you? So I told my children this. I said, during that time, the best thing you could do is right there. You're the little one. Stick close to mom and dad. Because during those times, you're going to have people speaking to your life. But the one thing that you know, there's nobody on the face of the earth that wants better for you. Nobody. But your mom and dad wants the best for you. You're going to question it. Because that guy that's the same age as you going, mom and dad don't know anything. You're going to want to gravitate to that. But wisdom is realizing before you get there, I'm only going to allow wisdom to speak into my life, somebody that loves me. Okay. So here's the illustration that I use off of that. If you're lining up in the race of life, and everybody knows from the dash to the dash, that whole thing, you know, the birthday to the death date, we choose, you know, we think we choose of all the things that we're going to do in life. But it's the wisdom of God that will lead us to the best outcome and the easiest, listen, the easiest outcome. If you were in a line and we were all up here and we said, go, you had to run in a straight line. We know that some people will, you know, they'll get and they'll go, man, this is a hard race. I got to go over the chairs. And you go, what are you doing? But if somebody in their life said, if you'll just take a left a few feet, you'll be able to go down an aisle that's so much easier. I'm using a metaphor, so nobody says, Pastor John says you got to walk over seat. Come on now. The thought is this. A loving parent, like Gwen and I were to our children, we would say, there's going to be times that you're going to quit. But we have been there. So if you'll just take a little left and go down, it's so much easier. And you're going to come up on a little mountain here, and it's going to be hard to get up for a while, but once you get over, boy, it feels good because you can just cruise down the hill for a while. Do you understand where I'm going with this? It's in wisdom to be able to say, hey, just hold on. You can't sit where you are now, but in a few days, few months, even a few years, you'll look back and go, whew, I was able to avoid all that that I could have gone through. Now, when you heard these ladies read Proverbs chapter 3 from the Bible, the Word of God, don't miss that. The Word of God is life. So when the Word of God goes forth and you know those principles, Ian said that he reads Proverbs every, you know, a proverb every day, which I encourage you to do. Again, when you hear the Word of God, understand it as wisdom. Well, you know, Pastor, I got up late. And if I read the Word of God, I wouldn't have breakfast. If it cost you everything you have, get wisdom. You can avoid that jelly donut, but you can't avoid the wisdom of God speaking in your life. Now watch this. Everybody that's a believer more than, you know, 30 days will say, amen to that, brother. Spiritually speaking, there's somewhat of a still a parallel to that. When you are just born again and you come to know Christ, man, let me tell you, I just feel the Holy Spirit, the power of God. That pastor, he can preach. The older we get and the longer we're in around a community of just doing life, sometimes we go, you know what? I think I need to go to another church because they've got more life over there than over there. And I think I need to do this a little bit different. And I don't know if that guy knows what. Stoop stage. Don't be influenced just by the whims or the winds of time or the fashion of the day. Okay. Understand, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 through 11, listen to this. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? There's something about when Jesus says things like this in the Bible, that there's a retraction in our life because of someone or our own experience that speaks in our life that says, you know, that's not necessarily true. Hear me. If we begin to believe what the Word of God says over our life, and we see it as wisdom, it can guide us through all of just settling for good. We can go on to great. You know, good is the biggest enemy of great. Understand, what I want to tell you today is our Father is trying to get to you wisdom and understanding that not only will change your life, but change the people that desperately need it around you. I'm one of them. I need you. So like Solomon told his son, I'm telling you, get wisdom. I need you. Then the wisdom of God is the Word of God. You know, there's sometimes this week a guy that is down at Axiom. He's an author. And he's a great guy. Austin, the barista, gave him my number, and he called me. Hey, can I get together with you? I just want to meet you. And sometimes there will be people that will do that, which is kind of honoring. Can you tell me something? Can you kind of help me on this? And a lot of those people don't want to come to church. And I'll say, you don't understand. If I was to meet with you, I'd tell you what I'm telling everybody right now in the congregation. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's the same thing. When you think about, boy, I wish Jesus was here right now, I'd sit down and ask him what he would over my... He's already said that in the Word of God. But there's a thing that goes off in us that when we read, we think it's... But when you read it as if it was a letter to you, all of a sudden it kind of gets a little energizing. All of a sudden you go, ooh, look at that. And when the promises of God, every promise of God, the Bible says is what? Yes, and amen. It's up to us to put our faith with the promise. So watch this. This is what just is so igniting. It is, it's powerful. Watch this. Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, remember, he's a non-believer. Well, Pastor, I was a non-believer. Did you go around killing Christians? No. And I deal with people, and maybe you can use that too. I've dealt with people that just can't receive forgiveness. They've done too many bad things in their life. I even talked to a guy that was a military guy that was in war, and he just said, man, I said, did you kill Christians? No. Pastor, no. I said, the Apostle Paul did, and he changed the world that we're still reading about. So understand forgiveness. But anyway, Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can read that in the Acts of the disciples, the Acts of the early church, the behavior and what happened. He's walking in the Holy Spirit, and he's writing to a church where he went to, and it's in Corinth. And if you haven't figured it out, it's Corinthians that we read in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I encourage you to read this. You can read this Proverbs, but read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because we're going to talk about it the next time I speak. And I get so excited because Ronnie is going to speak next week, and we're going to have a great service. But read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and the next time I speak, I want you to look at this, because we're going to take it further. Because of time today and what I have to say, we just don't have time to unpack all of it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul, look, watch what he does. Now we've talked about wisdom and the love of a father, and do this because it's going to give you life. But here's Paul, and he's received the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do? He would help us recall. The power of God would come on. Watch this. In verse 1, it says, when he went to the church at Corinth, he goes, you remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's sheer genius? See, they are not even at the point when he came the first time understanding this. But he said, oh man, God is so amazing. He says, his sheer genius, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. The whole plan of salvation. In other words, he just came and made it. He's not going to be the, you know, that whatever guy that talks them in with fancy words to something that later that they're scratching their head. He says, I made it plain and simple. Now watch this. Then he says, but he says, I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death if you would want the truth of it, if you want the truth of it. And so something I said could have impressed you or anyone else, but the message came through anyway. How could it come through? Listen, what's next? God's Spirit and God's power did it. Where was the God's Spirit and God's power? In Paul. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. We have an evangelism class on Tuesday nights that are available anytime you want to go. But Curtis and Callie, when they go, let me tell you, there are so many awkward, as you know, if you would try to go door to door, if you'd go to Walmart and share your faith with somebody. But this is so important for you to understand that the power of God is in you. Now listen, a lot of times a Christian will go all the way to arrogance. Look out. Look out. Do you know who I am? You better call somebody and ask them because I got the power of God. And you know, they got the... And then someone, hopefully mature enough, will say, hey, winch that back. It's not who you are, but it's who you are in that makes you powerful. So realize, here's Paul. He goes, I didn't know what I was doing. It sometimes feels inadequate, but the power of God and God's Spirit made it happen, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power. That early church in Corinth that we learn from today, thousands of years later, because of the power of God that resided in a man, was able to come alive in a group of people that changed the known world right there in Corinth. Listen, your faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. It was the power of God that did it. Listen, verse 6. We, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground, but it's not popular wisdom. In other words, he's going to say, oh, I've got a lot of truth to teach you about Jesus and the things that he did, but it wasn't some fashionable wisdom or high-priced experts that will be out of date in a few years or so. Have you ever heard people go, you can't eat eggs, it'll collect, you know, that cholesterol and stuff. And then probably in another couple years, they'll come back, oh no, they were all wrong. You know, you eat, I haven't eaten eggs in 4 years. Somebody says, you don't have to wash your hands in surgery. That isn't... And then somebody says, oh, they're killing people. And everybody goes, well, of course. Who were the idiots back there that weren't washing their hands? See, when wisdom comes upon us, it's so obvious. This is what's happening. The power of God and the wisdom of God is speaking through Paul, a guy that feels inadequate, but because of the power of God, changes the world that he's in. It's not some outdated, fashionable wisdom. Listen to this. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the inner interior of his purposes. In other words, sometimes we don't get it, and sometimes we're in the stage of life that we go, oh, I don't believe that. Don't do that. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest. What God determined as the way to bring out his best in us long before we ever arrived on the scene. Again, do you remember that Solomon is speaking wisdom to his son? Because I want to equip you, son, with the best for you that can change the world. God's plan for you and I is to have the Holy Spirit in us to remind us that the Word of God, to direct us. When I preach on, God said in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, look long and expect for God to show up in your life. And people go, well, what do I got to do? Listen, it is expecting God to show up because the Holy Spirit resides in you. The experts of the day, Paul says, having a clue about what this eternal plan is, if they had, they would have not killed the master of the God-designed life. on a cross. That's why we have the scripture text that says, no one's ever seen or heard anything like this, never so much as imagined anything quite like it, what God has arranged for those who love him. Look at the next, and we'll end with this next verse on this. But you, talking about the church at Corinth, but you seen and heard it because God by his Spirit has brought it all out in the open before you. You realize that Paul is saying, I don't have to tell you this has happened at the church of Ephesus, or this has happened at the, you know, this location in Rome. You were able to experience right here when I came. Now, how did they do that? Because again, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. You know, let me just sum this up. You know, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. When I say the Holy Spirit lives in you, you can say God the Father. You can say Jesus lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. So what I'm saying is we look for wisdom and say, you know, what do we do in this situation? This is why it's important to recognize what is afforded you as a believer. Things that are forfeited, in my opinion, by most believers. Now, you're a Gentile, which is anybody other than a Jewish person. And a lot of times people get caught up on, well, I think that that... Can I just remind you that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, it says this. This is what you tell yourself when you argue it's not for you. Well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit's for me. I don't know. Listen to this. It says, he redeemed us. In other words, he purchased us back by what he did for us on the cross. Jesus redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that resides in us. The ability to say, God, can you lead me in this situation? I need wisdom. And he will help you recall all things that Jesus has taught you. That's why it is imperative that you get in the Word of God and begin to listen to what the Holy Spirit speaks over your life in the Word. Now let me tell you, and I've told you stories of how God has worked in my life and making it where I look, well, looky there. I did something that was outside of my wisdom. Buying this land that had floodplain on it. Somebody said, I wouldn't take that land if you gave it to me. And the blessings of God, it is out of the floodplain for free. All the things that have happened, I'll share with you at other times, but just amazing. You know, I heard a story, and I'm going to just kind of conclude with this, is you have the ability as believers, young and old, to experience things that you've never experienced this far in your life. And what's so fun is to think that the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom beyond your years, and that means even if you're 120 years old, there is no age limit beyond your years. More than you have. I heard a story about a guy that was speaking on the Holy Spirit, and someone in the congregation was visiting that day, and he came up and said, I don't know if you know, but and he was the gentleman that invented cookies and cream. Now I got some of your attention for the first time on this Sunday morning. All right, Pastor, I'm listening. Okay. He says, Pastor, really, I'm like Mr. Magoo bumping into things and things, but I feel it's important to allow the Holy Spirit to speak in your life. He says, I speak in tongues and I pray for the interpretation. He says, I believe what God has spoken over my life. And one day that idea came to my mind. And a process came and we rolled that flavor out. And man, it is amazing. Now listen, I'm speaking on the Holy Spirit again, what interests us a lot in these stories is the man became extremely money wealthy. But I want you to see that it's not just on money, it's in wholeness in your life that the Holy Spirit speaks. But let me go back to the story. There is probably the majority of people that if you said, what would you think would be a nice new ice cream flavor that everybody would buy that would bring you wealth? They'd go, there's nothing on the market that's new. There's nothing you could invent. You know what I'm talking about? Wouldn't we do that? There's nothing out there. There's everything that has been created has already been created. You might as well just quit thinking that you're going to come up with a new ice cream that's going to be all that. Let me tell you, there's some nights that Quinn and I will get in the car and we'll go to Dairy Queen late at night and I get that cookies and cream right there. When you begin at this part of your life to think that there is no new ideas, there's no answer to a problem that you've been banging your head on, that you thought, you know, I feel like God told this to me in my life and I haven't experienced it, whatever all that stuff is, to become attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you in your life. There's people in this room right here that could take the microphone and tell you of experiences. That talking about things that the Word of God says over your life, like, you know, you'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the country. You'll be blessed going in. Well, I don't know about that. Well, you'll be blessed going out. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be blessed in Pepsi Cola and in Frito-Lay. You'll be blessed in insurance and IT and Allstate. I mean, it goes on. God has blessings right now where you, well, Pastor, I've never seen it up. Would you please quit talking that out of your mouth? Begin listening. And the power that God has promised you in your life right now is speaking to you. I'm going to ask Lisa to come back. We're going to sing that as we're about ready to leave. Gwen's going to wrap it up after the song and put some clarity to my message. But I want you to respond to what you heard about the Holy Spirit. And as we respond in singing these words, He's a way maker. If He promised us the Holy Spirit, are you big enough to say that He's not going to keep His promise? I'm not. So this morning, if you stand, sing this. He is a promise keeper. He's going to keep His promise. He's a miracle worker. Now listen, our Holy Spirit keeps us from just looking for miracles. A miracle comes when you have to have it now. But think about it. When the Holy Spirit speaks into your life, you can even get sometimes where you don't even have to have that emergency right now because God has helped you avoid it. Why don't you stand? Boy, I could preach into that. Lisa, go for it.
I think we need keys in the house, please.
never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it,
you're working.
Even when I don't feel it,
you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are.
Come on.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Would you just lift your voice one more time, Lord? We thank you.
Awesome.